I'll read you a poem, which I wrote, which is a little more joyous, about my daughter, who's almost a year old. But right now, I better read this poem on Coltrane, because I won't want to read it later. Most of you know who John Coltrane is. He's a great man. He was a friend of mine. I wrote the poem before he died. I was very frightened by it. And I'd been listening to him play all night, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, at the Half Note in New York City. Well, Train died in 1967, in July, and I was out of the country. I was in Mexico. When I came back from Mexico, I landed in San Antonio. And he had to get off the plane because you had to declare customs. And I walked through this door in about 120 degree heat, carrying my boy. And I saw a picture of Lyndon Johnson and a Confederate flag and a flag of Texas. And I said, I'm home. And the plane, which was a Braniff airline plane with all those Technicolor suits that girls put on, went to Dallas. I got off the plane again because it was too hot to stay in it. And I walked around the airport and I saw these guys with shotguns on their shoulders, about 8 of them. And I got in the plane again. Next stop, Kansas City. Stopped in Kansas City, and as the plane was landing, one of the tires blew. Bang. The guy came on the intercom and said, no problem, I'll have it fixed in a few minutes. We waited a while, we got in the plane, went to Minneapolis, which is my destination. I got out of the plane, having had this arduous trip. It was a great big poster of Wallace. I said to myself, man, I just couldn't do it any better if I tried. And I said, I'm home. And I was deeply moved when I was in Mexico because I went to the Anthropological Museum on a Sunday. And many of the tourists who were there warned me about bringing my son to this place where all the peasants were in this park. Is what they call, I think, 1 peso day, or maybe it was 2 peso day. And of course, I felt very comfortable. You know, women came up and greeted the little boy and played with him and talked to him. I thought it was very natural. And I was also struck that in looking at these paintings, many of the things which were represented on the wall looked very much like some of my ancestors. So I felt very much at home. Then I came back to where I was born and didn't feel home at all. Well, Coltrane was a great man. And he gave a great deal of his life. If you've heard his music, you know that. He played an album called The Love Supreme. And this poem recalls Coltrane. Dear John, dear Coltrane. A love supreme, a love supreme, a love supreme, a love supreme. A love supreme, a love supreme, a love supreme, a love supreme. Sex, fingers, toes in the marketplace near your father's church in Hamlet, North Carolina. Witness to this love in this calm fallow of these minds. There is no substitute for pain, genitals gone or going, seed burned out. You tuck the roots in the earth, turn back and move by river through the swamps, singing. A love supreme. A love supreme. What does it all mean? Loss so great each black woman expects your failure in mute change, the seed gone. You plod up into the electric city, your song now crystal in the blues. You pick up the horn with some will and blow into the freezing night. A love supreme, a love supreme. Dawn comes and you cook up the thick sin between impotence and death. Fuel the tenor sax's cannibal heart, genitals and sweat that makes you clean. A love supreme, a love supreme. Why you so black? Cause I am. Why you so funky? Cause I am. Why you so black? Cause I am. Why you so sweet? Cause I am. Why you so black? Cause I am. A love supreme, a love supreme. So sick you couldn't play Naima. So flat we ached for song you concealed with your own blood. Your diseased liver gave out its purity. The inflated heart pumps out the tenor kiss, tenor love, a love supreme, love supreme, a love supreme, a love supreme.